Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
You know, we got to start off the show giving you an update on exactly where Lane is moving slowly south of the western Hawaiian Islands, and it's dumping rain still on the Big Island. The location, about 110 miles southwest of Honolulu. The sustained winds are 60 miles per hour, and it is still moving at about 3 miles per hour. So if you're wondering where all the rain is that this storm was expected to dump on all of the islands, well, it's still dumping in Hilo. A tropical storm warning discontinued for Hawaii County, but we hear that on the bayfront in Hilo, there's some 3 feet of water, and stores along the bayfront just about right up to the steps that would take you into those shops. So there's just feet, soccer fields, and all the way up to the stores, 40 inches of rain falling in Hilo, on the Big Island, just in general, some areas just taking a whole lot of water. So this hurricane become tropical storm. We've got a tropical storm warning in effect for Oahu still and for Maui County, including the islands of Maui, Lanai, Molokai, and Kaho'olawe. The tropical storm watch is also in effect still for Kauai County, and the warning means the tropical storm conditions are expected somewhere within that warning area. So we got to be still on the lookout. Just know that we could get some very heavy rain, like on the windward side, where it's raining a lot more than it is, for instance, than it is in the Honolulu area, although we are seeing some dark clouds forming over the Ko'olau Range. Just so you know what's going on in the world of golf courses, whether they're open or closed. Many closed. Kapolei is closed today. Ko'olina remains closed. They say they're going to open up tomorrow. Wailea, it is cart path only. They say there's a little break right now, and so it'd be a good time to go play. Maui Nui, wide open. Lots of tee times there. On the Big Island, I didn't expect to find any tee times, but Makalei, which is very high up above Kona, there's a 9:32, a 10:12, and a 10:36. So for those who just need to go play, there's something for you. But I haven't found anything on Oahu, and I'm sure if there is something, it's going to be cart path only. City and county courses, more than likely, they're closed since all of the city and county and state employees got these days off leading up into today. I'm not sure that a decision was made about golf courses, but I know, for instance, the buses are going to be running at no charge today to get people who went to the shelters. Over 1,500 people went to the many shelters that were opened up on Oahu. They're going to be able to get to their homes at no charge. So that's our Hurricane Lane become Tropical Storm Lane, which is just moving along south of the islands, maybe possibly going a little bit north, but west mainly. It made that dog leg west. And we all have to thank the topography. The topography, those big mountains that we've got on the Big Island, Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa, and Haleakala, both of those on the Big Island and the big one on Maui, definitely helped to tear the storm apart, in addition to the upper shear. That's like the trade winds just blowing out the top. So we've got a great lineup for you today. A good morning. We are in the clubhouse, if you're not on the course. Matt Janella, editor-in-chief of Golf Advisor and travel insider for Golf Channels, with us. We're going to get a call in from TPT Golf out of Switzerland. Jim Dodson, the Range Bucket List author, is in the house later. Chef Anthony Villanueva from Edgewood Country Club, and Josh Sens, golf writer for Golf Magazine. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, master PGA teaching professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring in right now Matt Janella, editor-in-chief of Golf Advisor and travel insider for Golf Channel. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matty G.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Thanks for that comprehensive update. That was amazing. Jeez.
Yeah, and how's your brother? Did you talk to him?
Yeah, we've been texting now here today, and they're hunkered down. They did all the necessary measures of prepping the houses and horses and dogs, and you know they've got they've waited in line like everybody else probably for 3 hours for gas and supplies. And so from all that I'm hearing, so far so good on the North Shore of Oahu, but they know more's coming.
Yes, exactly. I know that all of us have a lot of food and a lot of water. And, you know, I was just talking about the water with Nani. She takes care. She's our producer in-house. And the thing about the water storage is the water is fine. It's whether it leaches from the plastic. So you got to drink it. You want to always recycle whatever you have. Keep some stored, but buy new stuff after you start using the old stuff. I don't know that we've talked that much since you became a golf advisor editor in chief. What exactly do you do?
Just a lot more of the same, to be honest with you. As you know, Golf Channel and Golf Advisor are obviously under the same umbrella, Golf Now as well. And Golf Advisor has been a very valuable platform for me in terms of some of the stuff that I write. If I'm not talking about it on Morning Drive, then I have a chance to write about it on Golf Advisor. And as of the new year, going back to January, we expanded what was Janela's Journeys, the 7-8 minute travel vignettes that ran within the structure of Morning Drive, to now what is a 30-minute show called Golf Advisor's Round Trip. So we kind of took an expanded version of the travel vignettes and made them into a show, depending on the destination and the amount of days we would shoot. A lot of times, I was telling them when we'd come back from these trips, I would say, "Geez, you know, we had great guests, we got great content. It's tough to actually cut it down into 7 minutes." I believe, you know, I always use the analogy: hey, we're coming back with a dead cow, and we're only eating the fillet. in today's day and age, you know, with all the excess, you know, just the demand is to be more efficient with content, and also knowing that not only do we need content, but the destinations need content. So we're giving up B-roll and digital shorts for their social and digital platforms in addition to our platform. So everything kind of got expanded, and a lot of that is going to be in partnership with the Golf Advisor.
And still, I see you hosting Morning Drive, and that is so cool. Yeah, we missed you. Were you in Ireland all this time?
Yeah, I was. I ended up getting an opportunity because of some scheduling snafus. Actually worked in my favor. I was in Ireland. I was going to be in Ireland, and I was going to come back and then go back to Ireland. And when the trip I had in between the two Ireland trips got canceled, I was with my wife and baby Bandon, and we were able to kind of bridge the gap and figure out a way to stay in Ireland for the 3 weeks. So I did an Ireland travel show that will be airing here fairly shortly, and then it did some tournaments on the front and back end, which was the father daughter at Waterville, and then the father son at Waterville in between, you know, on the as bookend. So quite the epic summer so far.
So no kidding. I mean, we're putting together a journey for our listeners. A luxury trip to Ireland, going to some of the fabulous golf courses, including Waterville. So that, and when I heard that you're there, you know, I thought, wow, I can't wait to see your show. This is going to be great.
Yeah, coming up pretty soon. So, I think sometime in September, I'll let you know, I'll let you know with text and social channels when it's airing. You'll see some promos, but, yeah, we went everywhere from the southwest coast to Waterville, then to Adair Manor, which has just been recently redone, which is spectacular, and then all the way up to Portrush in Northern Ireland for a little preview of the Open Championship, which will be back there next year. So,
wow. Now, Royal Portrush, when it comes to the spectators, what kind of a golf course is that for people who are going to be there to watch the Open?
I think it's going to be a great spectator venue. It's not too dramatic in terms of the dunes escape, so it should be fairly walkable. I mean, you know, if Ballyliffin this summer, which hosted the Irish Open, is any indication, they got thousands and thousands of people to even more of a much more remote location than Royal Portrush. So I think you're going to have a fantastic open venue. There's a lot of little fun cultural stuff in and around Port Rush. Bush Mills Distillery is up there. You got Port Stewart. You've got Royal County Down and Ardglass not too far away. The Giant's Causeway is a spectacular visitors attraction that gets, you know, over 100,000 visitors this year, in large parts because they do a lot of filming of Game of Thrones up there. So tourism is huge up there right now. I was told by the Republic of Ireland and Irish Tourism Board that golfers from North America visiting Ireland to play golf is up 11% from last year. So Ireland's hot, and for good reason. You know, right next to Waterville, you got the addition of Hogshead, and then Adair Manor just recently redone. You got the Open Championship coming back to Northern Ireland. The Irish Open under Rory McIlroy for the last 4 years has been a huge hit, and I think Rory did a lot to bring more eyeballs to the area. So all good in Ireland. You're going to Ireland, you're going to have a great time.
Going to Ireland, you're going to have a great time, because not only is the golf fabulous and the scenery is like unbelievable. I see some of the pictures that you share on your Twitter feed, Matt Janella GC for Golf Channel. Matt takes gorgeous photos. After all, Matt Janella is golf advisor, editor-in-chief, Golf Channel's travel expert, but he was photo editor for Sports Illustrated and Golf Digest. So he really knows a thing or two about traveling around the world. And so, you know, when Matt Janella says that you're going to have a good time, you're going to have a good time. We're watching the beginning of the FedEx Cup on television now, with the Northern Trust. And yeah, it's just interesting to see Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. Koepka could take Johnson's position as world number one if he does one of many things, or other people do. It's an interesting combination of if you win or you come in third and so-and-so comes in fourth or fifth. It's odd, but they're the best of friends, aren't they?
They're good buddies. Yeah, they're good buddies. They spend a lot of time together. They work out with Joey DeSalvo, Joey D, down there in the Jupiter area. And I think they've got similar, you know, styles of play. They got similar mindsets. They're kind of impervious to some of the small stuff that tends to bug other people down. They both hit it, you know, a country mile, and they've got good short games to go along with that. They've got some serious mental toughness. I'm sure glad I'm not profession in which I have to try to beat those guys for a living. That would be bad.
And one of the things that Koepka, I think, said, you know, that sometimes his short game is underrated, and he's a really good putter.
Yeah. And they're always, you know, these guys are pretty driven. I think not only are they just loaded with talent, but I think they do have heart, and they have that kind of mindset, you know, where they just don't, stuff just doesn't bother them. They don't get too excited, and they get, you know, in some cases they get flack for that, that they're not as, you know, they're not as emotional or
yes,
upbeat as, you know, when things are going well and winning. But that also bodes well for them when things aren't going well. And I think when you have a situation, you know, Dustin Johnson had to take a break away from the game, or Brooks Koepka, you know, did have an injury and had to take a break from the game, and just listening to Brooks and listening to DJ, I think they those little breaks end up helping them, you know, not take things for granted and understand that, you know, things can go away just as easily as they can be there for them. So I think when you get those guys in that hungry state of mind with that talent and mindset and work ethic, it's trouble for the rest of the tour.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, when you talk about go away, I mean, Jordan Spieth is such a talent, such an amazing talent. And for him to not be able to produce what he knows he's capable of, what he knows he's done, must be very, very frustrating. And that one putt where he was so close and he took it for granted, you know, it's like people say to you, don't ever take the short ones for granted. And he just hit the ground and the putt didn't drop. But he reacted okay at that point. Still, he seems he does seem to react emotionally.
Yeah, and that's a big reason why he's so well, you know, that's why he's so beloved. You know, he's more along the lines of the Tigers and the Phils. That, you know, they do wear their hearts on their sleeves. That's not the case with the guys like DJ and Koepka. They're more along the lines of the Vijay Singhs and Retief Goossens, and, you know, the guys that had good stretches but didn't necessarily, you know, get that fan base like the Tigers and the Phils. Because at the end of the day, I've always said, as a golf fan, which, you know, it lives in me too, you know, as a golf fan, I've always said, I don't want to care more than they do. You know, it's never fun to care more than the person that it is that you're
rooting for.
A fan of, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you want to have their emotions pull you along. You want to be able to relate to what it is that they're going through. And that's Tiger's brilliance, in addition to sort of all that he's done in transcending the world of golf, is that he wore his heart on his sleeve. So when he was, you know, when he was playing great, the fist pumping and the pointing and the running and the, and, you know, and then the club, you know, the club smacking and the cursing and that, yeah, hey, I'll take all of it. I'd rather have that. I'd rather have that because, you know what, that's what I go through on a day-to-day basis.
Yep.
You know, I don't necessarily fist pump like that, but I would if I was winning a major championship.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
so anyway. I'm glad you brought up the F-bombs because Tiger's not having a great week. I mean, just barely made the cut. And there was, from what I hear, quite a few of those dropped today. But, you know, he can't putt.
He can and he can't. I mean, 3-under bogey free today. That you know, that's pretty solid. You know, he's going to be playing in, you know, potentially an 18 tournament schedule this year for the first time in, you know, X number of years for a long time. And I just think that this was a great, he says, one of his best years of all time, you know, whatever that means. I do feel like, you know, for him to be where he's at and have done what he's done this season and do whatever he's going to do in these playoffs, going into next year, I mean, this just all keeps building. He's an old 42, but I think that, you know, he's got a lot left. No one has more heart. No one has a better head. No one has had more success, certainly not any of the current players. You can add up a lot of these guys' careers, and they still don't equal Tiger's, you know, individual career. So to go into 2019 with Bethpage Black and Pebble Beach, and we're going to have Royal Port Rush, and of course Augusta National, you know, I mean, I'm already so excited for the next season. We still got a couple of playoffs and a Ryder Cup to go this year.
Yeah, exactly. No, and you know, I'm so glad you brought me up to date because, frankly, this morning was all about catch up, and I only knew what Tiger did for the first two rounds, and I forgot that because he just made the cut, he's already played. So it's great to hear that he's had more success with his putter because it was yesterday that was such a tough one. Now, finally, this is, you know, and now we have the big news this week that the sudden death, well, maybe it will be a sudden death playoff. They will have a sudden death playoff if Tiger and Phil Mickelson, who, by the way, is playing like a demon, or he was. Remember, all of my news is from like Thursday when I was trying to keep up with golf while doing a good old lane.
Well, you only have a hurricane prepared for you. I can't believe you're behind.
Yeah. Well, I was also broadcasting all these updates all the time, you know, and trying to get my house together. So there is going to be the match. The match between Woods and Mickelson is happening around Thanksgiving. And somebody said that there would be a sudden death playoff with Tiger if Phil Mickelson ends up tied after 18. And then somebody made a joke and said it should really be a dance off. So it's because of Phil Mickelson's latest commercial for his long sleeve shirt.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So are you looking forward to the match in Vegas?
I'll tell you right now, if this was 15 years ago, I would have paid whatever they were going to charge. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really wish that in the height of their powers, they would have done more of something like this. I wish we go back to 2004 and the Ryder Cup and being paired together and that kind of debacle that it was. You know, at this point, it's not nearly as intriguing as it would have been, to be honest with you. For me, yes. I think that, you know, I think it's good. It's happening. I don't necessarily see myself. I mean, I'm in the industry, so whatever it is, I'm going to have to watch it.
Of course.
And whatever they charge, I might even try to expense it, see what the company says.
Yes. Yes.
Who knows what? But it, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, Phil's becoming a bit of a cartoon character, to be honest with you. He's you know, I obviously can still play, but you know, the shenanigans at the Open and the cartoons and the hair and the kind of the, you know, talking about going to the gym when obviously he needs a lot more trips to the gym before I would say I'm going to the gym. So he's a bit of a cartoon character. I appreciate what Tiger's doing in terms of now at the point of his career and what he's trying to accomplish. But I can't help but feeling like this is 10 to 15 years too late, to be honest.
And if they were putting their own $10 million on the line, that would make it a little bit more intriguing. Matt Gianello, yeah. Editor-in-Chief of Golf Advisor and Travel Insider Golf Channel, always pleasure talking with you. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Yeah, well, take care of yourselves out there in Hawaii. Obviously, my heart is always on the North Shore of Oahu with my brother and his family, and look forward to getting back this Christmas. And you know, I consider it a second home. So love you all out there. Take care. Be safe. And hope to catch up with you soon, Danielle.
Awesome. Matty G, thanks so much. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
We're going to come back. We're Switzerland's calling. This is so exciting for me because I spent a lot of time when I was a kid in Switzerland, where my family's from, part of them, the one half. So Sebastian Sabayong, CEO of TPT Golf. Yes, a shaft. Now, how many conversations have you had about, is the head of the golf club more important or is the shaft more important? Well, the head needs the shaft. We'll talk with Sebastian right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
A new breed of golf shaft? This is Sebastian Sabayong, CEO of TPT Golf. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So I pose the question, what's more important, the club head or the shaft? and the shaft is finally coming, you know, the importance of it. Tell us what your thoughts are.
I think the shaft is the engine of the club. So you need both, actually.
You need both. You need an excellent club head. But don't you get the power, the drive from that, a great shaft will maximize that head performance?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so you really need to be fitted. And from what I understand, that TPT Golf is really about fitting people for the right type of shaft, depending. Is it the swing speed that means so much?
That's exactly correct. I mean, like, we sell only our shaft to fitters around the world. We want to make sure, actually, that customers get the right model, get the right shaft. And as you know, our shafts are, I would say, like, expensive. So we just want to make sure that every customer is a happy customer.
Every customer needs to be a happy customer. But there's something really interesting about your TPT Golf shafts. No spines or seams.
Yep.
Can you explain that?
The way we produce our shaft is really unique. It's all automated, and that's how we can produce shafts with, like, no spine.
You use an interesting technique. TPT is a division of NTPT. It's a Switzerland-based technology and composites firm that develops cutting-edge materials that challenge the known boundaries of weight, strength, and performance. So they've done things like, remember when the Solar Impulse came to Hawaii and landed here and stayed here for a while because of some issues? Well, NTPT produced the materials for that epic journey. So in realizing what they've had, the material, then so you can sleeve the shaft without having any inconsistencies in it.
Yeah, that's correct. The process is all automated, and we use, like, extremely light prepreg, 15 gram per square meter. So that's 25% of the weight of a page of paper.
Wow. Wow. And, Tiger Woods was just testing shafts recently. I mean, he was going through this whole testing process just last week in between, the PGA Championship and going into the FedEx Cup playoffs to try to maximize his game. So I'm not saying that there was anything involved there, but it just shows you, he was messing with his putter to see which putter would be better. So, the shaft can make such a big difference in whether you get the right kind of launch with that shaft. When I say you're committed to fitting, the TPT Golf shafts are, you only sell them through a network. So how do I find that network?
So you can find the network on our website. So we have, 70 locations in the U.S. We really work with, like, an extremely small number of fitters. We want to keep it, like, exclusive and want to make sure that we work with the best fitters. So in the U.S., Club Champion is selling the shaft. And you also have one location in Hawaii, actually. Aloha Golf is carrying the product.
Oh, those are my friends, Aloha Golf Center. Joey Tadeo, he also has Aloha Golf Center in Las Vegas. He started off in Hawaii, and he has a store in Vegas. So there are multiple different versions of the TPT Golf shaft. There's the 15 series for golfers with swing speeds like 105 to 120, which that's not me. But you go through the entire gamut, right? I mean, there's the 19 series for people with, like, 60 to 70.
Yeah, actually, so we have 11 different models.
Wow.
And what we really find out is that people have to get fitted because at the end, they most likely end up with something softer than what they used to play and also lighter. Because we can put, like, more plies. It's all about technology. We can put more plies because it's, like, extremely light and still be very consistent. So most people end up with, like, a 16, 17 series, I would say, in the U.S.
Interesting.
Even the strong players.
Even people who are, like, 60 to 70 mile per hour swing speed, you'd still go with the 19 series, wouldn't you? But
Yeah.
But that's why the fitting is so very important. Interesting company. I thought it was fascinating that TPT Golf was born out of the, you know, NTPT looking for, has saying, I've got this material. Wouldn't you like to use it for your clubs or your shafts?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And now you're going around the world and you've got your own, you've got wins on the PGA Tour, the European Tour, the Champions Tour, the Asian Tour, the World Golf Championships, the LPGA of Japan, the JLPGA. Really exciting. I think, who was the most recent winner?
I don't know. The thing is that you have to know is that we don't pay players. So we're not allowed to use their name. That's what is really fantastic about this, is that we're getting more and more players, even like new ones, like this weekend, like a very big name too. But we don't pay them. The one that is like currently playing our shaft this weekend, who just switched actually to our shaft, gained 20 yards.
Just gained 20 yards using your shaft?
Yes. Yeah, and this first round, driving accuracy was like at 100%.
Wow. And of course, you don't use their name because you don't pay them.
No, we don't pay them.
So we're going to have to like see if the camera goes really close on the logo.
Yeah. But the logo, you'll see it's blue and yellow, so it's you can recognize it.
That's awesome. Sebastian Sabayang, thank you so much for spending time with us inside the clubhouse. I really love this story. And of course, my heart is in Switzerland, part of it there. TPT Golf in Switzerland. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Aloha. We're going to come back and talk with an award-winning author. His name is Jim Dodson. He's author of The Range Bucket List. Such a wonderful story about a man who has, I mean, he has won the Herbert Warren Wind USGA International Award for his 2004 book, Ben Hogan, An American Life. He has won the USGA Herbert Warren Wind Award. I mean, it doesn't get any higher than that. For American Triumvirate, Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and the Modern Age of Golf. I think they should make a movie out of that book. Maybe they have. Maybe he can tell us. But this book that he wrote is so wonderful because he found a chest, and in the chest, he found some notes that he'd written when he was a 13-year-old. And in that chest, this things to do list came up. Things to do in golf. And based on this list, he's written this book. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now, done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
So just so marvelous. Jim Dodson, author of The Range Bucket List, he didn't think we'd be doing the show today because of the weather. But I really didn't cancel anyone because it's a tropical storm and we're having such a good time. And this gives me an opportunity. He's going to call in after he pulls over. So nice of Jim Dodson, author of The Range Bucket List, to do that. While we're waiting for him to check in, I just want to let you know about the Aloha State Junior Golfers. Their classes at Bayview Golf Course are for kids, and they're from 10 to 11 on Sundays. And I help out Coach Mitch there. The Aloha State Junior Golfers program offers golf training and character development for the youth of our community, and it's really cool. Bayview is such a nice driving range. They've really done so much work. They're about to open up the Bayview restaurant there, too. So lots being done at Bayview. When we talk about character development, it's about the values. Students are taught responsibility, courtesy, making wise decisions, thinking about possible consequences, how to define and set their goals and achieve those goals, the importance of maintaining a very positive attitude, as well as the importance of showing respect for others and their decisions. So it's very, very affordable. It's like $7.90 an hour. It's a group lesson, so the kids get to get together with other children and just really enjoy learning the game, having fun, you know, because that's what's important, right? Learning the game and having fun. So that's the Aloha State Junior Golfers, Bayview Golf Course, Sundays from 10 to 11. And I help out Coach Mitch while we work with the kids. And just then we get out a little bit on the driving range. We go on the putting green. We do a little pitching and chipping from onto the green. And then sometimes we'll play one or two holes. Sometimes we'll play more. Depends on just how the day is, whether it's raining. Now, we have a tropical storm lane, and there's, of course, a tropical storm watch for everybody, tropical storm warning for Maui and for Oahu, but we've so far not gotten the rain. They got 40 inches on the Big Island. In Hilo, it's up to the Bayfront store doors, and that's the pictures that folks on the mainland are seeing, including Jim Dodson, author of The Range Bucket List, American sports writer, writer in residence for the Pilot newspaper, editor of Pine Straw magazine, founding editor of O. Henry magazines, the Herbert Warren Wind USJ International Award for 2004. That was for Ben Hogan, An American Life, and the USJ Herbert Warren Wind Award in 2012 for American Triumvirate, Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and the Modern Age of Golf. And as I told you before we went to the commercial break, Jim Dodson was going through a big trunk. He comes upon a few things that he had written when he was 13 years old. And it was things to do. And into the clubhouse now, welcome Jim Dodson.
Hey, it's great to be here. How's the weather there?
Oh, well, right now it's just kind of overcast, a little rainy, depending on where you are. Right now you just think it's a rainy day in Honolulu. On the windward side, it's blowing. In Hilo, it's absolutely inundated with rain, 40 inches, you know, across the Big Island. So the pictures that people see on the news on the mainland, they always go to the disaster areas, right?
They do.
Yes,
they do.
Yes. But I just love the fact that you found this list of things to do.
I did.
And I'm like, okay, can I go through the list?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Meet Arnold Palmer and Bobby Jones. That was number one. Play the old course at St. Andrews, Scotland.
Right.
Make a hole in one was number three. Very high up on the list there. Number four, play on the PGA Tour. Number five was get new clubs.
Right.
Number six was break 80 soon. I love that.
Yeah.
Number seven was live in Pinehurst. Eight, find golf buddies like Bill, Alex, and Richard.
That's my dad's guy,
caddy at the GGO.
Yeah.
And what was the GGO? What is it now?
It was the Greater Greensboro Open. Now it's the Wyndham Championship. It was just played last week. It was the PGA stop last week.
Yeah, there we go. Number 10, check this out, guys. You'll understand this. have a girlfriend who plays golf.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
When you're 13, you want a girlfriend.
And number 11, play golf in Brazil. Okay.
Don't ask me why. I have no idea. I've never figured that one out.
So you couldn't plumb the depths of your 13-year-old mind to find out why in the world you wanted to go to Brazil to play golf?
Well, you know, a buddy of mine who's been my best buddy forever. In fact, he's in the book. I call him the Irish Antichrist. He's my oldest friend. He has this theory, and he's probably right. I read the first golf book I ever read was Sam Snead's very folksy book written with Al Stump called The Education of a Golfer. And it talks about Sam, a Peckerwood kid from Western Virginia who learned to play golf with a maple stick and a rock. He gets about halfway, three-quarters way through the book, he talks about going on his first international trip, and he went to Brazil. And he went down there, and it cost him twice as much money to go as he won. And he got the, how shall we say it, Montezuma's revenge very, very badly. He vowed never to leave the country again. So I remember thinking, you know, what was it about Brazil that, you know, I thought it would be kind of, it was, you know, who knows? I don't know. I have no idea. I found that little notebook in the bottom of a trunk, and I thought it was pretty funny. That's funny because everything else I just, except for play on the PGA Tour, I did. In a weird kind of way, I think working as an editor for Golf Magazine, covering the tour for 7-8 years, might qualify, but it wasn't quite the same.
Not quite being under the pressure, under the gun on the first tee, or that putt for 3 inches
that's
that
right.
you stub.
That's it.
Yeah. This is a wonderful book because.
Thank you.
Yeah, and not only of course do we go through your life and look at all these different things, but I found this really cool part of the book when I was you Pinehurst. So you ended up living in Pinehurst, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, it's not far from Greensboro where I grew up, which is near Charlotte. If you need to orient, if you don't know North Carolina, it's in the north central part of the state. Pinehurst is directly below it, about 75 miles. And when I was a kid, though, going down to Pinehurst from Greensboro, which was a big, pretty big city, you know, you had to wander through the pine trees, and it was very, it was really desolate down there. And so it felt like a long way away. So but it was also felt like another world. And I tell the story in the book about when I got tossed off my dad's golf course in Greensboro, for burying a putter in the green. The old pro threw me off for the summer. And my dad, feeling sorry for me, took me down to Pinehurst and sort of showed me this stunning Donald Ross golf course and beautiful, beautiful, you know, clubhouses and, It was like something from another world. He said, "See that course there? That's built by a guy named Donald Ross. He's very famous. He's probably the most famous golf course designer." And he said, "You can't play there because you don't know how to behave on a golf course."
So not only did you have to suffer the consequences of your action by not being allowed to play on the golf course you normally played on, then your dad rubbed it in a little bit more by saying,
He's a very clever guy. Actually, what he did, he drove me on down the road to the Pine Needles Resort, Mid Pines and Pine Needles, which is Mrs. Bell. I know you know that name, Peggy Kirk Bell, who basically was the, kind of the female Arnold Palmer of the Bell family. Mrs. Bell probably has brought more women to golf, and they've had 3 U.S. Opens, women's opens at Pine Needles. Anyway, when I was 13, I didn't know any of that. We pull up, and he takes me inside. He wants me to introduce me to somebody, and turns out to be Julius Burris's younger brother, Ernie, who was the pro, and I didn't know this. My dad knew him, and Ernie starts, he says, you know my brother, and I said, oh, sure, I saw him at the GGO, and he says, you know, he's here today, you'd like to meet him, and I nearly fainted, and he said, sure. He'd won 2 U.S. Opens, and so we go in, and the great man is having lunch, and his brother, the pro, gave me a visor, and he said, you know, if you really ask him, he'll probably agree to sign your visor. So we go in, and Julius Burris is sure enough hat sitting there having lunch, and his brother introduces me, and Julius gives me this whole Q&A about, you know, well, son, it's good you like golf. I'm sure you observe the rules of the game, don't you? And I flat out lied. I go, yes, sir. And he said, you've never thrown your clubs, I bet, or damaged the green. And I said, no, sir, I never have. And he said, in that case, you respect the game. You know, I hope you have a nice long journey in golf, and you sign my advisor. My father, you know, it literally took me 20 years to learn the truth of that. My father had set the whole thing up because he knew Ernie Burroughs.
And you lied.
I did lie. Well, I was so in awe. I was tongue-tied.
I know.
What are you going to say? I know, I just got thrown off my dad's golf course for burying a putter in the green, you know? I couldn't tell him that. I was 13.
I get it.
It's panic. It's like Trump trying to answer questions about, you know, porn stars.
Yeah, what's her name?
Right.
No, that's priceless. So you see, these stories are so wonderful from Jim Dodson, multiple award-winning author of Ben Hogan, American Life, Final Rounds, A Father, A Son, The Journey, A Golf Journey of a Lifetime, American Triumvirate, Sam Snead, Byron Nelson, Ben Hogan, and The Modern Age of Golf, Dew Sweepers, Seasons of Golf and Friendship, A Son of the Game, A Story of Golf and Fatherhood, just this wonderful bibliography of books that Jim Dodson has written, and now there's The Range Bucket List, and it's out in paperback, so it's wonderful.
Yep.
It's a wonderful feel. I wanted to tell you, when you hold this book, it just kind of goes into your skin. It has it feels like you could become one with the book. It's very cool. So in addition to the stories of the 13-year-old, you know, I'm reading about the Pinehurst bubble. You know, if you live there too long, you know, this can't be real. There's got to be something. Where's reality? That was wonderful.
You know what this book is, really, seriously? You know, I had the great, grand good fortune. I wrote a book called Final Rounds, which was about taking my dad back to England and Scotland when he was dying of cancer. Now, that book came out in 97, and I thought of all my pink-eyed, land-eared, redneck cousins in about 7 central North Carolina counties, bought a copy, those that could read. And my mother bought 300 or 400 I knew she would buy. I thought, you know, maybe it'll sell 500 copies, and it didn't even do that the first month out. And then I get a phone call at our house in Maine. We lived on the coast of Maine then, it was Bantam said, you know, your book's on the bestseller list. You should go around the country. And they sent me around to do a whole, you know, trip around the country to speak about the book. It was really fun. And the book, as a result of it, Arnold Palmer, Arnold's wife, called me actually the day after I got home and called me. I was on my way to my last book signing, and it was snowing in Maine. And this is in the book. The tale's in the book. And I pulled up in front of a bookshop, and I knew nobody would be there because it was, Mainers aren't stupid. They never go out in a blizzard. It was the first snowstorm of the year, and they're cheap. They would never buy a new book. So so I was about to blow it off, but the phone in my truck rang, and I answered it, and this very nice lady says, "Mr. Dodson, this is Winnie Palmer. I just wanted to tell you her words. We think Final Rounds is the most beautiful book we've ever read." And said, Arnold and I would like to ask you if you'd be interested in writing Arnold's autobiography and sharing the cover title with you. And so, of course, you know, I was again, almost like that 13-year-old kid, tongue-tied, but I said, then it occurred to me that this was probably not Winnie Palmer, that this was my aforementioned friend, old pal, Patrick McDade, a.k.a. the Irish Antichrist, calling me up from Greensboro, pretending just to wind me up because he'd been needling me when I was coming through here on the tour. So I said the following to her. I said, "Mrs. Palmer, that's great. I'd love to talk with you about that. The truth is, the Nicholases are coming to Maine this year for Christmas. And in fact, I'm on my way to the airport in Portland to pick them up right now, and I'm going to take them to a Christmas party. And I got to tell you, like the one I took them to a couple years ago, and it goes tonight like it did then. We all got totally plastered, and Barbara and I ended up making out like bandits. I'll have to call you back." And I hung up on her. I thought I was so clever, and I called my friend McDade on the way home, and he has no idea what I'm talking about. In fact, he's dead. And I get home, and the light is blinking on my little... Now, my wife has gone up to Grandma's house up in Skowhegan, and it's pouring snow. It's just the old dog and me. I pushed the, you know, in your kitchen in those days, your recording machine had a little light, and I pushed the blinking light, and the same woman's voice comes on. She says, "Mr. Dodson, this really is Winnie Palmer calling. Arnold thought that was the funniest thing he's ever heard, but he's gone to bed. He said to tell you, though, that he wants to do, now he wants to do the book more than ever. Will you call us in the morning? Oh, my God. I'm saying it again. That's in the book. And here's what this book is. This is just a collection of stories and people. It's my love poem to an amazing game. If you had told me that starting with Final Rounds, which won a Book of the Year award, and a Son of the Game, which won a Book of the Year, and then the two Herbert Wynn Book of the Years, if you told me I had four books, I would write, golf books would win Book of the Year, I would have told you you're nuts. But they're real love. They're all love affair books with the people of golf. And so everybody's always asked me, what do you do next after you've been Arnold's autobiographer and Hogan's biographer? And I said, you know, I'm just going to write a book that tells these stories I never got to tell. And tell about the wonderful people in this game in a 35-year walk through the game, including Hawaii. Jackie Punk's in it. So, yes. Was teaching my wife. And so there's a funny, funny scene with Jackie Punk on the Big Island.
Where it's pouring, you know, there's 40 inches of rain.
I know.
And they're listening in Hilo on KPUA. So this is very cool. James Dodson, author of The Range Bucket List. This is a wonderful book. Thank you for, I haven't laughed like that in I don't know how long. Such a pleasure talking with you. Thank you for being in the clubhouse this morning. Aloha. Thank you.
Thank you. It's great fun. Hope it dries out soon.
Yes, and you'll have to be on again soon so I can laugh again, okay?
All right, my pleasure. Anytime.
James Dodson is author of The Range Bucket List. We're going to come back. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens, your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Anthony Villanueva is executive chef of the Edgewood Country Club, the Edgewood Country Club, that's in New Jersey, home of the inaugural Golf Kitchen Edgewood. Edgewood Country Club, in partnership with Golf Kitchen Magazine, hosting Golf Kitchen Edgewood Fine Dining Soiree and the inaugural Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellence Awards. All of this happening on October 4th, 7 p.m. at Edgewood. Okay, now, not only is this involving Edgewood, but they're bringing together chefs from Sabonic, Glen Arbor, Westchester, Addison Reserve, they'll all be participating in this event, a fine dining soiree, and then the awards. Chef Tony Villanueva is the host chef, and he's with us in the clubhouse now. Hi, Tony.
Hello, how are you? I'm from New Jersey.
Hi, New Jersey. How's the weather? Because it's raining over here.
Well, it's not a bright, sunny day, but it's a little bit cloudy, but not too bad. I hope you guys are bracing the storm well over there.
Yeah, we're doing okay. There's some places that aren't. 40 inches of rain, I don't know. There's water up to the storefront doors in Hilo, right along the bayfront. So there are places that are really getting way more water than they ever thought possible. We're still waiting for it to come in this way. It's south of the islands, and it's moving along. We're told to be aware that we could potentially have some flooding. But right now it's really quite nice in Honolulu, just a little overcast and showery with a few breezes. And it's a perfect time to talk about cooking, right? I mean, if you're indoors and there's nothing to do, then why not cook up something fabulous, or even simply fabulous, simple and fabulous. It doesn't have to be gourmet. And just everybody feel the comfort of home. And speaking of homes, did you grow up in Manhattan?
Yes, I did, actually. I grew up in the Lower East Side.
Lower East Side. So Anthony Villanueva has this marvelous history, the way he grew up and learned about food. Tell us about what it was like on the Lower East Side when you were growing up.
It was a wonderful, great melting pot. You know, cuisine back then, unlike now. Now, you know, we have all these stellar chefs and things like that. But one thing that I can remember was, you know, it was just it was a place to be for you know, consistent good food. It wasn't like, you know, Food Network status as it is today, but it was very consistent. And you know, growing up in the Lower East Side, I had access to going to Little Italy for, you know, some great zeppels and sausage and pepper sandwiches, going up to Chinatown to have dim sum with the family, and of course my all-time favorite, you know, corned beef sandwiches and pastrami sandwiches from Cat's Delicatessen.
Yeah.
So it was a great melting pot, really, you know, influence for food. Definitely not on the level that we experience today, but definitely something that was great and definitely, you know, what New York is famous for.
Yeah, it's kind of like Mama decided to open up a restaurant and she's cooking what she cooks at night or at home.
Exactly. And that's, you know, a strong background in comfort food, you know, definitely is important today, you know, as a chef, as well as, you know, being able to do all the Nouvelle stuff.
You know, when I was reading your biography, just a little bit, a few lines about it, did you really live on a street where you could play stickball and Mom could call you in for dinner? I mean, that's like out of the 40s.
Absolutely. I lived on H Street, okay, and I was right up the street from Thompson Square Park. And I was that little kid playing stickball, you know, in the middle of the street. And my mom would call out the window, you know, Anthony, come and get your spaghetti. So that's what I could equate. I definitely was that kid, you know, playing stickball, handball, skellies, you know, tops. Anyone who could equate to growing up in New York in the 70s could definitely appreciate what I have to say. Because it was a great place, I got to tell you, just great exposure, just family-oriented. It was a really, really nice neighborhood.
So what got you to go to work in a kitchen? Well, how did you get into the restaurant industry?
It's really funny because I kind of fell into it. I thought, you know, my mom was a single mom, so she worked a lot of jobs when we were younger. And one particular job she had, she worked in the World Trade Center. And it was funny, it was on one of the top floors, and it was like a cafeteria / restaurant, and I would go to work with her, and it was the best because I had the best food ever. You know, I was a little kid. I'd sit down, they'd make me this wonderful cakes, you know, with Swiss cheese and syrup on it, and, you know, French toast, and, you know, I was a kid that could pretty much eat anything I wanted, and I don't know, I just kind of, I had to learn how to cook at an early age. Obviously, you know, I was the guy that made a meal out of a can of corn, you know.
Wow.
I had two younger sisters that, you know, I had to care for. So I kind of learned, you know, early on The kitchen always kind of called me. You know, my first job as a kid was working in a pizzeria, you know, and I remember that it didn't pay much, but at the end of the shift, I was able to take home all the leftover pizzas. That was quite popular in my neighborhood.
Yeah. You know? That's awesome. So then you got into the restaurant, you got into Greek, Mediterranean, and I thought it was interesting that you were mentored by old school Greek, Italian, and Jewish chefs.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I got to say, you know, a lot of these guys, they weren't, you know, culinary trained as chefs are today. These guys were old world. They kind of learned, you know, the school of hard knocks, as we say. But you know what? That is still one of the best schools to come out of because you learn hands-on and, you know, you just learn. And it's wonderful because you actually learn tradition, you know, and that's something that's important today.
It is. We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. That's KORLYNI Honolulu. All right. So you've had all these mentors. You're working in the business now. Why did you decide to go on to the Culinary Institute of Hudson County Community College for further education?
Okay, I had spent a lot of years in the kitchen already, and I was at the point in my life where I felt that I needed to, you know, go to college, get some sort of an education. Again, me working in these small mom-and-pop restaurants, the future is not very promising. You know, you have to think about your benefits and things like that. So I started thinking about the future, and I was like, wow, you know what? I always had the urge to continue my education. So I was like, what kind of career can I choose that I will not have wasted all the years that I've already spent applied in the kitchen? So then I found out about the program over at Hudson County Community College. I did a tour of the school. I kind of liked what I saw. I was very passionate, you know, that everything that I did. I was always accused of playing with my food a little bit too much, more than most of my peers that I work with. So it was great, you know. It was just a good experience for me. For some reason, I don't know, it's just instilled in my blood, you know, the culture, I guess, being around it. I loved it. I really did. Just like I said, working for those, you know, mom-and-pa restaurants is not a promising. There's no retirement plan.
Right. You know, but we have a culinary school here at Kapiolani Community College. And from there, the chefs come out and make big names for themselves because they're taught lots of things that you might not learn or get a chance to learn in a kitchen, in a restaurant where you're working. You get to explore. You get to figure out how different things are blended together that you may not have even dreamt of. And I imagine that's kind of what you got to do when this is Chef Tony Villanueva. He's the executive chef of Edgewood Country Club, Rivervale. And this is the home of the inaugural golf kitchen, Edgewood. It's the start of something really special because not only is the golf kitchen Edgewood a fine dining soiree, there's going to be the awards ceremony afterward and the awards going out to the Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellent Award winners for the past year. You're bringing together in your kitchen the chefs, executive chefs, and teams from Sabonic, Glen Arbor, Westchester Country Club in Rye, Addison Reserve Country Club out of Delray. How are you getting them all in your kitchen?
I'm very flattered to be able to have the opportunity to work with some of these gentlemen. I have followed their careers, and it's a great experience. As chefs, listen, we collaborate, we get together. Some of us do have bigger egos than others, but you know what? If your ego can't fit through the door, maybe you should not come in the kitchen. But you know, we're very flexible. Again, when chefs get together for a common cause and you know, it's magical the things that happen. And I've had the opportunity to work with quite a few chefs in my career. And this upcoming Edgewood event, it's really exciting. I mean, it's actually really taking off. I'm quite flattered. A lot of people are calling me up, approaching me. I have some of my peers saying, "Hey, pal, why wasn't I invited?" You know.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know, and I'm
yeah.
Like, hopefully, you know, as we progress and this becomes an annual event for us, maybe we will be able to highlight a lot of the talent that's out there. But it's very humbling. I'm very excited. Definitely, I open my heart, my kitchen, anything that I can do to make these guys more comfortable. You know, that's what we're here for.
That's awesome.
And again, it's about the event, you know. I think a lot of us will walk away a little bit more knowledgeable, especially about each other. You know, as chefs, when we get together, we start to learn things about each other. And sometimes the image of the particular chef, when you meet them in person, you're like, wow, you are nothing what I expected. It's awesome. So it's definitely, it's a good gathering. Definitely, you know, I'm sure most of my peers, we all, you know, we do things from the heart. And this is just another chance for us to collaborate and showcase, you know, some of the things that we actually like to do. And what I'd like to see is that the chefs prepare something that is true to the food that you prepare at your club. In other words, don't just come in and make something that's real foo-foo and you know what, you'll never see it again. Let it be something that is a true representation of what each club is famous for. And I think that is what people are going to come out for.
Oh, yes. And I've had the opportunity to speak with some of the chefs who are featured in Diana DeLucia's Golf Kitchen magazine and her Golf Kitchen book. And each one has a different... something special, like the maple trees in a golf course that have been tapped and used in the menu, or in another case, the chef who goes out fishing and goes into his garden and says, I'm basing what I'm making today on what God gives me. So in other words, whatever's ripe today, that's going to be on the menu. Whatever fish I catch, that's going to be on the menu. You know, so it's a real beautiful world that we've discovered through Golf Kitchen. The chefs of these beautiful private country clubs that are doing spectacular work, creating wonderful dishes, and now being able to see what you guys are doing, and it's really special. What do you know? What you're going to prepare, Chef Tony Villanueva?
Yeah, I kind of do. We came up with this beautiful rosé poached halibut that I actually had the privilege of preparing for Diana when she was here from Golf Kitchen. And it was just a beautiful, luxurious dish. And I think, again, because it's true to what we serve here at Edgewood, I would definitely like to showcase that.
The opening party is going to have 3 signature event cocktails: champagne, tapas, an oyster tasting, a carving station, just all kinds. And then, of course, there's going to be the opening party and the closing dessert party. So this is an exclusive sit-down dinner. And then there is also the silent auction, live and silent auction, and that's going to benefit St. Jude Hospital. And then there will be the first ever Golf Kitchen Culinary Excellent Award presentation. So this is really special, and I'm so glad to meet you. Tony, meeting you has been one of the pleasures of my Golf Kitchen experience, and I really am glad you had the time to be on the show with us today. Is there something that you, halibut, I know that's what you're presenting, but what do you like to make at home for your family?
Believe it or not, comfort food. I just, short ribs, a nice pot of chili or some pasta, just comfort food. You know, as chefs, it's terrible to say, but we eat bad food. we crave that fast food. And I am the proud father of 6 children, so I know all about McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, and, you know, even though it's so bad for us. And
that is wonderful. It's like, what do they say about plumbers? Plumbers,
exactly.
It's always leaking at home because they're
That's
doing
right.
it on the job all day. So as a chef, it makes sense. Let's just throw a little something together, a pot of chili. Hey, the kids will love it. Make some rice.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, my wife loves when I cook at home, but she hates the mess I leave behind.
Wow.
She's like, you think you're at work? You think you have a dishwasher to follow after you? Come on, clean as you go.
Clean as you go. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, I just love you. Chef Tony Villanueva, the executive chef for Edgewood Country Club, Rivervale, home of the inaugural Golf Kitchen Edgewood. I hope to meet you one day, Tony. Thank you for being in the clubhouse.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha. Have a great day.
We're going to come back after this, and we're going to talk about, you know what? Golf Magazine has this amazing spread about a golf course in Hawaii. Now, for a few minutes, I want you to just think about which golf course in Hawaii do you think Golf Magazine would create like a five-page spread with fabulous photographs? We're not going to tell you right now. Oh, by the way, we'd like to give away some golf balls. You know, with all the stress that we've been under with Lane, now a tropical storm, if you're just waking up after a day of sleeping, Lane is a tropical storm. And certainly we could get some rain from Lane. A lot of rain has been falling on the Big Island and falling on Maui. And so there's a lot of people recovering. So I'd like to give away some golf balls. And all you have to do, now remember, we have two lines in the clubhouse, one for the person I'm talking to and one for you to win the golf balls. So when you dial 808-546-5675, 546-5675, put the 808 on the if you're on Kauai. I hope you're on the air this morning because Kauai was having transmitter problems. But if you're on Maui or the Big Island, 808-546-5675 in the rhythm. 546-5675. You just dial that number and you win, but you got to be the ninth caller. And if it's busy, it's because somebody's called. So you just dial again. 546-5675. All right. So we're going to tell you which golf course in Hawaii got a five-page spread in Golf Magazine after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, "Call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
Alrighty, so you've written that number down, right? 808-546-5675. And you're going to keep that 808-546-5675 number in your mind because we're going to do this often. We try to give away golf balls from Bridgestone as often as possible. Congratulations, Brian from Honolulu. You are our winner today. Now, I gave you a couple minutes to think about which golf course in Hawaii do you think Golf Magazine would do a five-page spread? Fabulous photographs. Which golf course? Well, we're going to tell you, because Josh Sens, golf writer of Golf Magazine, or in Golf Magazine, he calls it the Sleeping Beauty. Welcome into the clubhouse, Josh.
Hey, Danielle, you staying dry?
Yes. Honolulu side, we're lucky. It's just a little breezy, and it's dry right now, but there's always the threat of rain because, you know, Lane is moving like 2 miles an hour. We could walk faster than Lane is traveling right now. 3 miles an hour. It has dumped on the Big Island a considerable amount of like 40 inches moving toward, but south of the islands. So how much rain we'll get is just, we just have to know that it could be substantial and or not, depending on where we are. So we still have warnings in effect. Fortunately, the high surf warning, not there. There's an advisory, and that's great for the shores because they were really worried about Waikiki and the Alawai and getting flooded near Alawai Golf Course where the canal is. You saw that, right?
Yeah, I did, and I can imagine. When I heard the weather reports last week, some of my first thoughts went to some of the people I met along the coast, some of the golf courses I visited when I was on Oahu, and hoping for the best. So I'm glad to hear it's torrential rains and not torrential winds, because that could be really scary. And
yeah, yeah, the wind, you know, the wind is scary. That's what scares people, but it's the rain coming down that ends up in your home that's just absolute, you know, of course, if your roof gets blown off. So Josh Sens, golf writer, Golf Magazine, and I haven't told them yet which golf course that you featured so beautifully in Golf Magazine, you know.
So it's a big secret still. Well, you know, it's not a course that necessarily comes to mind, at least not here in California. For people I know here who go to Hawaii to play golf, it's not the first course on a lot of people's list.
No, but Matt Janella, Golf Channel, he loves this golf course. There's a book, The Finest Nines, by Anthony Piopi, and it's in that book. There are several professional golfers who think it's one of the best golf courses in the state of Hawaii, and I think we should just tell them that it's the Sleeping Beauty is Kahuku Golf Course. The photographs that you got in your magazine are really, really beautiful. It shows so beautifully.
Yeah, and those are really crucial to the story. You know, as the writer for the story, I was trying to sort of capture a feeling of the place and the sense of its history and its past and its present. But without the photographs, it really wouldn't convey it in the full way that I wanted. So I was glad they were able to get those shots, because they really do give you a sense, if you've never been there, of just the stark, incredible beauty of that course. It's a landscape unlike a lot of munis. you're not going to come across municipal golf like that pretty much anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and it's right along the ocean. And in fact, if you come to the right of the edge, you see, we call it, well, it's the beach that collects all things in the stream of flow. So if some person throws out a bowl from a ship, you end up finding fishing floats. You know, they used to find a whole bunch of the glass floats when they used to make glass floats for fishing boats when they'd get torn off from the nets and they'd be on the beach. There's shoes, you know, or a shoe, I should say. There's never the other one that comes along with it. But it's such a wonderful windswept beach. And then There's this beautiful golf course right up against these gorgeous mountains. And yet it's a muni, and there's no carts. I mean, like the kind that you can ride in. Part of the story that you wrote that's so wonderful: why are there no golf carts over at Kahuku, Josh?
Well, the story I was told by several people, and I got it confirmed from others, that when it was leased out by a big land company, a developer, they brought in carts thinking that it would be a nice amenity to add, and a number of the locals just took the carts home and used them as their personal vehicles, you know, went shopping, took them on lunch breaks. So the carts weren't actually being used on the golf course. They were being used for recreational use around the North Shore.
Yeah, well, there's a little liquor store right down the street from the golf course.
Hey, you know, go grab a six-pack and bring it
right,
back out.
Right, exactly. Exactly, because the pro shop doesn't exactly have everything that you might, you know, and there's nobody cruising around with a cart of beer saying, hi, you know, would you like to get something from my cart? So it definitely has, but you do have to wear shoes. I think that's interesting. I didn't know that shoes were required at Kahuku Golf Course.
Very strict dress code. It's the one sign I saw that was enforcing any kind of apparel. You had to wear shoes, and that was mostly because of concern. There's a lot of fishermen who cut across the course, and I was told that there are some fishing lines and hooks left around there. But as you alluded to, it's such a relaxed place, and the pro shop is barely a pro shop in the sense that you go in. If for those who've never been there, they don't sell golf balls, they don't sell golf tees, but they'll give you golf balls, they'll give you used golf balls, and there's nothing to eat. There's a couple of vending machines for soda. But it's a tumble-down, sleepy place, and that's part of its charm. And some people, it's also part of the problem because it's a course that's losing money, and part of the story deals with Mark Rolfing, who a lot of people may know there, a sort of ambassador of golf in Hawaii, who is concerned about the future of Kahuku, and he thinks that the course needs some TLC, a little bit of upgrade, so that you could charge outsiders a higher price to play, keep it affordable for locals.
Now, we were also, all of us were concerned about Kahuku Golf Course getting eaten up by the developers along the shoreline on the North Shore and part of the Windward Coast. It kind of, there's a transition up there. But the city and county of Honolulu purchased it, bringing it into its umbrella of the municipal course, the Alawai, the Pali Golf Course, Westlock, Ted Makalena, Eva Villages, and Kahuku are the six municipal courses on the island of Oahu. And as your story mentions, the Alawai is certainly the busiest, not as busy as it was. It is the moneymaker, but the golf courses don't pay for themselves any longer. There is the problem of losing money.
Yeah, and it's a problem that we see at municipal courses all around the United States. There's a debate in many places. I live in the San Francisco area where there's been an intense debate for years over municipal golf courses that lose money, and those who support the municipals will say, hey, well, they shouldn't necessarily have to make money. They're great outdoor recreation. They provide a public service. Tennis courts don't necessarily make money. Parks don't necessarily make money. So why should anybody complain about a golf course? But golf is treated in a different way than a lot of other recreational activities, and people wonder when they see a golf course and a beautiful plot of land, hey, why is this a golf course? Why is it only for golfers? Why don't we open it up to other things? So, you know, I'm not saying that that's exactly the way people view Kahuku, but certainly I understand the concern from people like Rolfing and others. If a course isn't making money, you wonder how long people will put up with a property that beautiful and that prized, not producing any revenue.
And then you talk about Top Golf coming. It's still in the process, of course. It's not, and nothing's finalized, but the idea of Top Golf is being embraced by a lot of people. The more they learn that Top Golf is a driving range. It's right. A driving range that happens to have a whole lot of amenities, like a pro shop, like a restaurant, like an entertainment center where you can have meeting places. You can take lessons. You can, if you're an independent teacher, you can go just like you would any other driving range. You just go there with your student. You can do that. Or there's PGA professionals who actually are employed by Top Golf in many areas that would be there. If you don't know a professional to teach you, they can teach you. Or you just play. You just go and have fun. And it's you don't have to know how to play the game of golf. You know, there's things there for you to hit, and you hit the balls at the targets and they light up, and it becomes fun. So it's a lot. It could generate an awful lot of revenue, and I think that's what the city and county of Honolulu is certainly hoping, that Top Golf creates a revenue stream to maintain and enhance the golf courses that the city owns, so that they don't have to increase the prices and they can keep the golf courses the way they are, but make them better. You know, keep them within that Alawai, Pali, Westlock, Ted Makalena, Eva Villages, Kahuku, those being their golf courses. So what would, when you were talking to Mark Rolfing in your story, what was his desire for Kahuku?
Well, Mark has a lot of different plans. I mean, his aim is to be flexible in his approach, with the understanding that, you know, some of his grandest ambitions might not be realistic. In his grandest dream, I think he would tell you that land on either side would be acquired or leased, and they could expand Kahuku from a 9-hole to an 18-hole course. But short of that, he would like to give the course a little TLC, primp up the maintenance a little bit, define the fairways a little better, restore some of the bunkers, allow the course to be put into the kind of spit-to-shine condition that it deserves. And so anything in between, from the full-blown 18-hole layout to a 9-hole course, maybe possibly rerouted, but certainly renovated with better drainage, better conditioning, is something that he would like to see. His idea being that, you know, that if you primp it up a little bit, you can justify charging outsiders a premium to play it, and they certainly would because it's such a beautiful place, while maintaining the affordable prices for locals that are so crucial to municipal golf. I mean, nobody in Kahuku who plays that course regularly is going to want to see their greens fees getting jacked up. A lot of people who play it are older, on fixed incomes, and, you know, Kahuku right now offers golf as it really should be, which is affordable golf in a beautiful place. But Rolfing's concern, as I said before, is, you know, how long is that sustainable?
Yeah. Gabby Pahinui, by the way, when you said there were no shoes, I went, really? Gabby played barefoot all the time.
Did he?
Yes. Gabby Pahinui was one of the most, still my favorite Hawaiian singer of all time. When I hear his music, it just makes you, you know, want to cry because he's so, but he passed away playing golf at Kahuku, and he always played without shoes. it's such a wonderful memory. But I liked Mark Rolfing's comment about Scotland in here, because the feel of the Kahuku golf course could be very Scotland-like. And what course did he think of that Kahuku could kind of be like?
Well, you know, it's obviously very different terrain than Scotland, you know, and the climate is very different. But, you know, if you travel through Scotland, you go to, say, a place like Cruden Bay or Montrose or any of these small towns in Scotland, each have their own golf course. And that's the history of golf, where, a local golf course is used as outdoor recreation for the people who live there. And, it's affordable. And it's in a sense, it reminds me of Scotland in that you can't see the town from the golf course, and you can't see the golf course from the town, but it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sign. You kind of have to be in the know to be aware that Kahuku even exists. So the way that the golf course is attached to the local community is very Scottish in that sense, and also, of course, the linksy features to be on a sand-based plot right hard along the water makes it very Scottish feeling as well, despite the palm trees and the balmy trade winds.
I like what he said. Could you build St. Andrews here? No, but you could do King's Barn.
Yeah, you know, that's Mark's view of it. For people who don't know, King's Barns is a great modern course right up the road from the old course at St. Andrews. So Mark's idea is that, you know, Kahuku is a spectacular place. It doesn't have the history necessarily of St. Andrews. So could you recreate that history? No, but you could certainly create a destination golf course in this spot.
As long as you keep our greens fees down. That
right. I mean, and, you know, anytime I would imagine on the North Shore, and I know from talking to people there, anytime there's talk of change or development of any kind, it raises alarm bells for people with good reason. And I think Mark Rolfing is sensitive to that, and he has no interest in building homes like the prior owner of the land did. He just really is genuinely intent on preserving Kahuku for future generations of golfers. He sees it as the lifeblood of the game, and really it is. That's how people get into golf. People don't get into golf for the most part through fancy country clubs and high-end resort golf. They get into golf by having accessible places to play.
Thank you, Josh Sens, because that's exactly how we feel here at the golf club. And without the Muni courses being affordable, our kids can't play. And right now, kids can play free. I've got to thank the people who make this show possible. Our conversation's taken us to the close of the show. Josh Sens, golf writer in Golf Magazine, Kahuku is the sleeping beauty. Thank you to Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse. Whether it's a new build, a renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing. It's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Futura Stone's master craftsman. That's right, Futura Stone. They can turn your building into artwork. That natural stone specializing in Brazilian quartzite flagstone. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you should go to the showroom. It's Futura Stone, only the best. Rainer Doors, yeah, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, so it's good for you, your home. That is Rainer Doors. Do give them a call. Rainer Doors. The number is 676-3667. 676-3667. If you'd like to hear the show, it's at radiogolfclub.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.